Amen. Well, it's good to see everybody out to the home group meeting tonight for the month of May. Just good to see everybody. Also, for those that listen over the internet, I would like to thank you very much for all the wonderful questions and all the emails that you send. So far this year, we have had over 52,000 hits on our website, and so we are, you know, ahead of last year's number of hits. And so I just thank the Lord for everybody that listens over the internet around the world, and all of your input. It really, really means a lot. Amen. As we do, we like to go ahead and look at what we looked at last month as a little foundation to go ahead and project us ahead. And so there are four points that we looked at last month that was really, really good. And that first point was situations in our life expose our heart conditions. Don't you know that? Situations in our life that we go through, they expose our heart conditions. They let us find out who we really are, because out of our mouth will speak our heart. Whatever is in our heart, like if I just want to know about you, all I have to do is just let you speak, and you will tell me all about yourself. And it's so true with good situations and bad situations in our life. They will expose our heart condition and how much we are like the Lord, or maybe how much we're not like the Lord. Very, very important point. The second point that we like to briefly, look at was exposure is the beginning of healing in our lives. And the theme of last month was exposure, how God has to expose areas in our life. Because if He doesn't expose these areas in our life, if we do not allow God to expose areas in our life, then there will never be that healing that God has desires in our life. And it's the exposure is the beginning of healing in our life. And the third point, very, very good point, we went into detail, and that is God hates murmuring. Can I get an amen there? Amen. God hates murmuring. And there was four different types of murmuring that we looked at. And, the children of Israel, no matter what God did for them, their clothes never wore out. I mean, God fed them manna and gave them quail and gave them water, and they murmured and complained, and they said, at least we have the flesh pots in Egypt. Can you imagine that? Here they were, walking under a cloud, pillar of fire by night, didn't get cold, they had God gave them everything, and still they said, at least we have the flesh pots of Egypt. And that was the bodies of dead people they were, cannibalizing. Instead of the blessings of God, they murmured about the blessings from God, and they always wanted that. God hates murmuring. We should not be murmuring. And the fourth point was a really, really good point, and I will go ahead and read the poem from last month. And God must be able to plow our hearts. God must be able to plow our hearts. And this is a poem from my teacher, Charles Hahn, who is with the Lord. It's called The Plower Plowed. It's from Psalms 129. The plower plowed upon my back. The painful plow struck roots of pride. Tore loose from darkness hidden faults, exposing them to the eyes of men. I also saw, to my surprise, ugly things come to light. I did not know within me hid so much of death and unbelief. All of this I gave to Him. As the Lord is plowing us, that's what He wants. He wants to expose all of these things in us, all of these things that are confusing, and all of these things that, will easily beset us. All of these things I give to Him in confession of sinful wrong, with a prayer that He will work His purpose and pureness in my heart. By Charles Hahn. Wow. God, we must allow God to plow our hearts and work in our life and expose those areas. Amen. This month, we're going ahead and look at Wilderness Truth for Modern Times. This will be number 10. And as I said, also, all the other 9 are on our website. You can go back and get caught up if you like to. And the verse we're going to launch out from today is Hebrews 11:6. Very, very, a very, very familiar verse. And this is Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For He, that is God, he that cometh to God must believe that He is," and notice that's underlined, "and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Two important thoughts right there. We must believe that God is. We must believe that God is, and He is a rewarder of them that, notice, I guess I should have underlined, diligently seek Him. It's not that seek Him or occasionally seek Him, but diligently seek Him. And that word diligently means all day long. That's what that word here, diligently in the Greek, means, all day long. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So tonight what we would do, last month we looked at exposure. This month we're going to look at awareness. We're going to look at awareness. Our progression in God will only be to the extent of our spiritual awareness. Let me say that again. Very, very important point. Our progression in God. And we all have a desire for God, you know. I really believe God has hardwired all of us. Psalms 27:1 says, "Deep calleth unto deep." And there is a depth, and there's a call within us that God has put in us. And that call is out to Him, and it's just going up to Him. And God has built that in all of us. And that is that, you know, that initial spark in our life that gets us along our spiritual journey. And as we come to God and we find out that God is, here in Hebrews 11:6, but we believe, you know, that He is. Our progression in God will only be to the extent of our spiritual awareness. And this is not only to say that we must be aware of our spiritual awareness. When I grow spiritually, I don't know that. You know, there's not so many prayers we can pray. There's not so much money that we give the church. There's not so many, you know, so much things that we do for one another. And that we go up that level of spiritual growth and development. That's not the way it works. When I grow spiritually, when I think that I've grown spiritually, I'm unaware of that. And that's the way it is in our life. True spiritual growth and development, it just happens. We just shun bad, and, you know, God can work in our life, and some good things will happen. But before we can even make an approach into God, there must be some type of awareness of His existence. Before we can even make that approach, even though there's that call, that deep, the call for the deep, you know, in our life, there must be an awareness on our part, that He exists. We must believe that He is, and not worry so much about the reward. Today, there's a lot of Christians that worry about being rewarded. Well, that's not so important. God will take care of those rewards. We need to worry about believing that He is, and all of those things, and He will go ahead and give us those things, you know, that we need, not that we desire. After our initial approach, and as we continue to, you know, to come to God, more awareness is developed in us. We cannot ascend into God beyond our awareness. Let me say that again. We cannot ascend into God beyond our awareness. The level of awareness that we have of God will be the level that we will be able to go up in God. No more, no less. Now, that does not mean that, you know, we must be aware of all of our, you know, degrees of ascent. It means that our ascent will be directly affected by our awareness of God's character, His ways, and our proper responses to such an awareness. If we are aware of God's character, then we will be aware of our character. If we can have some awareness of God's character, then that will give a reflection to us, a reflection of our character. People say, well, we don't need the Ten Commandments since Jesus died, and the Ten Commandments is Old Testament. Well, that's not true. The Ten Commandments is just a mirror. It's a mirror to us today. God says, don't lie, Brother Darrell, and sometimes we lie. Don't steal, and sometimes we steal, you know. It's the awareness, the Ten Commandments is an awareness in our life of how much we need to be like Him. And that's And that's all that is. And when we see that, you know, the character and the graciousness of God, then we will see our character. And we'll go, oh, woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips. Why is there this earnest desire then to seek God? We seek God because of that greater awareness that we're looking for in our life. We seek Him, not His things, but we seek Him alone. Now, a lot of Christians that I talk to are into heaven. You know that, Barbara? They're into heaven. They can't wait to go to heaven. Well, I'm not so much into heaven. Now, I'm going to go to heaven, and I'm not too worried about, you know, going to heaven. But I don't have to go to heaven right away. I can wait a little longer, because there's a lot of people that are going to hell. There's a lot of people that's not going to go to heaven. So I don't need to rush off to heaven right away. I just need to do what God wants me to do down there. I'm not into heaven as much as I am into Him.
Amen.
And if I am in Him, if I am into Him, then I will go to heaven. I'll have no choice. The Bible says that heaven and earth is going to pass away. What are all those people that wants to go to heaven, all that, you know, got to go to heaven, what are they going to do when heaven passes away? But His Word will never pass away, the Bible says. We don't need to be so much into Him, and into His rewards and heaven and all of that. All we need to do is just be in Him, and He will take good care of us. How does a person move toward Christ for salvation? Not without awareness. You must be aware of Christ to be saved. That is the beginning. That is that, you know, that spark, that deep, that call unto deep. There must be an awareness of a particular person who is the Savior, and an awareness of the need to be saved. The Pharisees are a good negative example of this. They were not aware. They were blind. They were not aware that Jesus was the Son of God. The lack of awareness was so great in most of them, they never took the first step towards correction. Awareness of God, like exposure, is the beginning of correction. Let me say that again. Awareness of God, just like exposure last month, exposure, when we allow God to expose areas in our life, that's when healing can begin in our life. Awareness in our life of God, and God alone, is the beginning of correction. That's deep.
Amen.
That's deep. But that's the way it is. The greater awareness that we have of God, the greater, more awareness that we have of His presence, what He does for us, and all of those things, then there will be built in us a desire to be corrected. And we want to be like Him. And that's just the way that is. Miriam, and we've been looking at the children of Israel, and Miriam the last couple of months, Miriam was not aware of her potential for murmuring and complaining when she sang and she danced a joyful victory in Exodus 15 and 20. She played her tambourine and she danced and she spun and she, the horse and the rider were cast into the sea and everybody was singing and woohoo and everything was good, but she was unaware. She was unaware of the bitterness that she had in her heart for her brother until God exposed that. And she was given leprosy for 7 days and set outside the camp. You know, victory in God is wonderful, but a victory often in God, in most of us, can cover bad attitudes. And we're going to look at that a little later. Victories, great victory, yes, I'm woohoo, yeah! Okay. But, you know, at the same time, there's could be some bad attitudes that was covered, and that was the way it was in Miriam's life. She sang and she danced, and it was a wonderful victory. But that victory in her life, it covered her true feelings and her attitude that she had for her brother. In the absence of our awareness of our need, our salvation, well, will lie in the fact that we move Godward. This is we having a beginning awareness and a desire for God retains hope in a face of hopelessness. There was hope for Marian even in the face of her leprosy because of her desire for God. That's why God said, okay, you know, I'm going to remove the leprosy. Because of her awareness of God, because of her desire for God, the time came when God exposed her waywardness and dealt with it. God's time to deal with Marian was not in her victory celebration. God dealt with Marian's attitude in her leprosy. Wow. Now, we would think that God would want to, you know, get us dancing and a wonderful victory so God can deal with us. Well, not so. You know, God can do little correction in our character in victory. Let me say that again. Please write that down. God can do little to correct our character in our victory. But let God get us into trouble. Let God get us into trouble. And our heart will be exposed. And we will be made very aware of our need for Him and for our need of correction. Last Sunday, I was in a wonderful church, and the fellow up there who was leading the music, they sang a song called "Count Your Blessings." And my teacher, Charles Hahn, taught me how to sing that song a little different. And the song goes something like this. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and you will be amazed to see what God has done. Well, my teacher taught me to sing it this way. Count your troubles, name them one by one. Count your troubles, see what God has done. Count your troubles, name them one by one. Count your many troubles and you will be amazed to see what God has done. It's because when we get into trouble, when God is able to work in our life and expose and begin to correct us and work in our character, wow, that will happen not in blessings, I promise you. That will happen and when we're in trouble, when we see our need for Him, when there's an awareness that we need God and God alone. We also will carry many unhealthy tendencies with us through our times of victory. Amen? We often will carry unhealthy tendencies with us through our victories. We will be unaware of our victory. Once we taste the victory of the mountaintops, the valleys where God can really work in us taste really bad to us. But it is in the valleys, it's in those low places, when we have been brought low, that God is able to come and work in our lives. It's not on the mountaintops when everything is going well. It's through very difficult times in our life that God is able to come and work in our lives. Our awareness of one thing may hinder God's attempt to us into awareness of another thing. Let me read that again. Our awareness of one thing may hinder God's attempt to make us aware of other things. Here in Matthew 13:20, which is the parable of the sower, it says right here, it says, "But he that receiveth the seed unto a stony place, and the same as he that heard the word and annoyed with joy received this." This awareness was blocked out, and the need to be rooted in the word and other to endure the tribulation and the persecution. So in Matthew 13:20, it was the joy. It was the joy that the person received. That word annoy means straight or forward. So it was the joy that blocked the need for the person's spiritual growth and development. It was the joy, all this wonderful joy, and because of the joy, he did not see the need for spiritual growth and development. And then that verse goes on. The awareness blocked out the need for his, for the root to be, deeply into the Word in order to endure the tribulation. We see that in the next verse, Matthew 13:21. Yet he has not rooted himself, but endured for a while. Don't you know, if you do not get rooted in the Word of God, if you do not get rooted in Christ, as a Christian you will endure for a while. If a tree is growing, and if a tree doesn't sink its taproot in and then start those feeder roots down there, that tree will endure for a while. But when the storm comes, it will not last. And that's the same in our spiritual growth and development. Yet he had not rooted himself, but endured for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the Word, not because from life, but because of the Word, by and by he is offended. The Lord will find opportunities in our life to offend us, believe it or not. That's why the preaching of the Word of God is not to make us happy. Amen. The preaching of the Word of God is not to make us happy. Boy, I feel good. That's good. Oh, that's a great message. No. The preaching of the Word of God is to offend us. It is to be a reflection of God's character to us, and we look in that mirror. We look in that mirror. We look in the Word of God, and we see how we measure up to the character of Christ. So the preaching of the Word is to offend us. When I see on TV the guy shaking his fist and he's got a bobblehead and everybody jumping around, that's the flesh. Because I promise you, when the Word of God is really here, when the Word of God is really moving, that brings you down in a low place. It brings you in a place of reflection. It brings you in a place, you know, to where you are now looking at God and saying, "Oh, Lord, have mercy on me. I am a sinner." The person in verse 22 is very aware of his cares of this world and his riches, or actually lack of them. This choked the Word, and there is no further progress. Amen? The awareness of the world choked out his spiritual growth and development. Whew. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the Word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choked out the Word, and he became unfruitful. You know, God wants us to be fruitful.
Amen.
That's the first commandment that God gave us, for us to be fruitful. Now, don't think that's having children, like beautiful Hayden right here. That is a part of fruitfulness. But there is spiritual fruit that God wants us to bear. There is spiritual fruit that God is looking for us in our life. What can I feed my wife? What can you feed your spouse? Your good looks? Your strength? Your intellect? No. I have to be able to reach into my heart, Samantha, and break out a little bit of love. Break off a little bit of love that I have for my wife and feed it to her. The fruit of the Spirit is love. I have to allow God to work in my life to where I can break off a little bit of that love and feed it to her. And she feeds that back to me. The first commandment that God asks man, he wants us to be fruitful. All throughout the Bible, God says, be fruitful and fruitful. Amen. But here, in verse 22, it says that you know, it was the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and all of that, it choked out the Word, and he became unfruitful. He was more concerned about what was going on in his life and all of his riches and all of that good stuff, to the point that he became unfruitful. The awareness of the world choked out his ability to be fruitful. Wow. The same truth can be seen elsewhere. In the days of Noah, the people were so intent in their awareness of the natural realm that they were unaware of God's doings. That sounds like today, doesn't it? People are so concerned about, you know, everything in the natural realm, they're not very concerned about the spiritual realm. The spiritual realm, to me, at times, I'm going to say at times, is more real than the physical realm. It's more real to me than the physical realm. And I could go in and I could, you know, I can explain that a little more in detail. But the spiritual realm is just as real as the physical realm.
Amen.
Most people use these eyes to see the physical realm, but the spiritual realm is only seen with these eyes, the eyes of the understanding, the eyes of heart, of our heart. And we will look at that. And I would say there's more things in the spiritual realm, that way that God has for us, that many people never ever, Christians now, that never ever, ever get into the spiritual realm, and they will miss out on that because of their lack of unawareness. But here in Luke 17:27-29, it says, "For as the days it was before the flood, that they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage." Wow. What's that like today? In the day that's really Noah or Noe is the Hebrew word, entreated enter to the ark and knew not until the flood came. So these people were unaware. They were unaware of the flood coming, and took them all away. And you know, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Wow. So the people in Noah's day, they were having a good time. They were focusing on this physical world, and they missed out on the spiritual, and they were unaware of the destruction that was coming. And that's what Jesus says. This is the way it's going to be when the Son of Man comes back. People are going to be eating and drinking and partying and having a good time and giving in marriage, and everything is going to be good. And they will be unaware of the destruction that is coming. Wow. Some parting thoughts. Jesus warns us of our intensive awareness of this present life will hinder our awareness in the spiritual realm. Time and time and time again, Jesus warns us of that. Not to be so plugged into the physical, but we need to be plugged in for the spiritual. John 2:15, John said, "Love not this world. Love not this world." That's not the earth now. The earth, the world is not the earth, and the earth is not the world. The world is a system. It's the way that we do things. It's the political system. It's what you see on this one-eyed monster right here. The world is all the fashion and all of that, all of the glitzy, glamour, all that stuff. That is the world system. And that will be destroyed someday. It will be destroyed. Love not the world and the things that are in it. Because either we will love the world and the things in the world, or we will love God. Our focus will be on the physical, or it will be on the spiritual. You cannot focus on the spiritual and the physical at the same time. John 3:6 says, "That which is spirit, and that which is flesh, is flesh." And so if our focus is going to be on the physical, then we'll never, ever be able to project ourselves into that spiritual realm where God is waiting for us. For many years, we may not be aware of our faults, hidden away events out of our sight. Because of the extent of our awareness and lack of surrender about what we know, and nothing in our victory, God cannot get at some of our nasty attitudes. Looks like I'm going to step on some toes here in a minute. But that's okay. What? That's okay. Holy cow! What do you mean that's okay? That's okay. Let them alone. I was talking to one girl in church, and you know, she was telling me all of her faults, all of the bad things she does. She was doing some pretty bad things. I think she followed Brother Joe doing bad, you know, badder things than I was doing, you know. She says, "Well, what should I do?" And I said, "Well, don't worry about it." She said, "What?" I said, "Don't worry about it." She said, "What do you mean don't worry about it?" I said, "Well, God knows. God knows what you're doing." She said, "Yeah." I said, "All you need to worry about is moving into God." And she was focusing on all these bad things. And she was doing some bad things. Now, if you're sinning, we need to stop.
But don't, oh my, I'm focusing on bad. No. Don't worry about all that. God sees that. All we need to do is focus on God. We need to get our attention on God. He knows what we're doing. He made us, you know. Yeah, He sees what we do. We don't need to worry about all the bad things what we're doing. What we need to do is just focus on Him and let Him begin to work in our life. I can't clean David Saul up. I can't clean myself up. You can ask my wife, she'll tell you. I can't clean myself up, but God can clean me up.
Amen.
And God has cleaned me up from what I used to be. But that's okay. Let them alone. In the course of God's work in us, we are brought to places in Him where these attitudes and everything else can be exposed one by one and dealt with. We should not be all upset and, you know, run around and go bad, you know. Leave them alone. Push into God. And let God, one by one, God, and let God work in our life. One by one, God will take care of these areas. And He'll bring us to these areas. And they won't be on the mountaintops. I'm going to tell you right now, they're going to be down in the valley. And God is going to get you there exposed, and He's going to bring this awareness in your life. And you're going to go, oh my Lord, I didn't know that was in my heart. I didn't know that I would ever say such things. I didn't know that I had such feelings against that person. Everyone's looking at me like, yeah, I don't know what he's talking about. But that's true.
It's true.
But that's true. And if we allow God to bring us into these places and work in our heart, He will take care of them one by one by one. Our level of our awareness will equal our surrender. Then God can get a hold of us and do the work that He desires to do in our life. God is ever, ever, ever wanting to work in us. The psalmist helps us in this journey also. Psalms 1 and 2 says, but His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law does He meditate day and night. That word delight is not the word malleable or conforming or palatable, but it is a happy delight. It's something that you look forward to. But it says that, and in His law does He meditate. And that word meditate is a very special word right there. That word meditate means heart picture. It means heart picture. Day and night. The more we meditate on Him, the more of a delight we will find in Him. And that word heart picture there means that we are to meditate on the Lord. We are to meditate on the things of God to where in our heart we can see a picture. That's where that comes from. Meditate means heart picture. We are to think, we are to meditate so much on the things of God that in our heart we'll be able to see a picture. I remember when I first started traveling overseas, you know, the Lord told me that I would be praying for people, and, you know, I just couldn't see myself doing that. This was back in, like, 1995. I just couldn't see myself doing that. And I said, well, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and I'm just going to read the stories in the Bible where Jesus did things and the disciples did things, you know. And I'm going to think on those things. I'm going to meditate on those things. And I meditated on those, and I read those, and I meditated, and I thought about them, and I thought about them. And I thought about them to the point that I could have a dream. I was actually dreaming, seeing myself in India, seeing myself in Asia, seeing myself in Africa. And you know what? Those dreams have come true. Meditate. Heart picture. That's what we're supposed to do with the Word of God. We're to meditate. We are to think about, that. So we can actually develop a picture in our heart of what we're thinking about. The Apostle Paul also helps us with this greater awareness. He urges us in Philippians 4, 7 and 8, very, very famous, "And the peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brother, whosoever things are true, whosoever things are honest, whosoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue," that word virtue means manlyhood or strength, "if anything that is of strength, and if there be any precise praise, think on these things." These are the things we're supposed to think on and meditate on, things that are honest and true and pure. Because I will tell you, if you don't, then you will think on the opposite of that. The more that we think on the things of God, the more we will become like Him. The more we meditate on the things of God, the more that we will become like Him. As we were talking earlier, there's a wonderful brother that a lot of us know, and he was supposed to go to Ethiopia with, and I love him very much. And I'm just going to use, you know, the situation here to make this point. He was talking to a couple people who have been to Africa, and one of them was Benny Hinn's bodyguard. He's his bodyguard, or does a lot of security for Benny Hinn, and he told, you know, my friends some really sad stories about all of that. But, you know, he put fear in him. He put fear in him. And he was telling me and, you know, Pastor Foster, what this guy was telling him, and, you know, how Africans do this, and they have no, you know, life, and they don't care, and, you know, all of these bad things going to... Well, he shouldn't have been thinking about all that stuff. He should have been thinking about the things of God.
Amen.
Because when we think on negative things are going to happen. Now, do bad things happen? Yeah. And sometimes they happen... You know, and sometimes God's involved in that, you know, but, you know, that's okay. You know, God is God and we're not, and He's got a plan and that's okay. But when we think on negative things, then negative things are going to happen. We're to think on things that are of a good report and virtue and strength and praise, and then our mind will be stayed on Him. We must become more and more aware of the things of God. As our heart desires God, a personal awareness of Him comes into picture, comes into that meditation, comes into that heart picture more and more and more. This hope and assurance are expressed in a prayer of Paul. Another very famous verse, Ephesians 1:17-19. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you, everybody listening to my voice, to you, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him." This is what is ours. And the Lord wants to give us. He wants to give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. "That the eyes of our understanding be enlightened." No darkness. There's no darkness. There's no variance in Him. "Our eyes and our understanding will be enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of His calling." His calling for what? For you. And me. Each and every person. We all have a calling. What is your calling? That you will know. That you will know the hope of His calling. And what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceedingly greatness of the power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power.
Amen, amen.
This all happens not by us working for Him or doing all of those things, but this happens by us becoming like Him. Ephesians 2:10 says, "Now we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good things." We have all of these things in Ephesians 1:17-19. When we allow God to work in our life and we become like Him. If we are ever to arrive at such a fullness of awareness to which Paul refers, we must first become aware of the waywardness and sin that is often within us. If we are really and truly want God above all else, we will take care of our personal problems by allowing God to work in our life as we become aware of them and Him. Wow. Even our sin, in our sins, after we have been forgiven, guess what? There is still work that God must do in us. A lot of people say, well, my sins are forgiven, I'm on my way to heaven. Okay, that's good. But you may not make it. Because there's still work that God needs to do in us. There's still work that God needs to do in us. God will certainly bring the one hinders for him into a higher realm of spiritual awareness and understanding. But he can work toward such heights only in the proper heart condition and the good soil as a good and honest heart in the words of the parable of the sower. The more aware we are of God, the more aware we will be, we will see our great need for God and His correction, so that we will not miss out on all of the rewards in Ephesians 1, 17 and 19. God has all of those wonderful things, those two passages of verses, you know, that I listened, you know, that I listed for us. But all of that happens not by us working for Him. So many Christians have this work mentality. It's not about working for Him. And yes, you know, the work must get done. But it's about becoming like Him. Becoming like His sweet and wonderful Son, Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to You now, dear Lord, we just thank You and we praise You, Father, Lord God, for this opportunity to share Your Word, Father, Lord God. We just thank You, Father, Lord God. Help us, Father, Lord God, to allow You to work in our life, Father, Lord. Even in the times of victory, Father, Lord, let us not get over, Father, Lord God, in victory, victory, that we miss out, Father, Lord God, in some work that You would like even to do in our life, Father. And Lord, even when we're in the low times, Father, Lord, and You're working in our life, strengthen us with might in the inward man, Father, Lord God, so that someday we could be like You, Father, so that we could function and operate and move like You, Father. And we just thank You and we praise You, Father, Lord God. We praise You for Your Word, and Father, Lord, we just thank You, Father, Lord, for all the many blessings that You have given us, Father, Lord God. And Lord, we just thank You, and Lord, just bring us all back again next month, Father, Lord God. We pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Amen.